Morning again.
Good morning.
Has it happened for you yet? Has that whole religious thing gone away? Coming to church and having a religious experience? You know, our hope is that we pull that whole religious thing just down and we just talk about what's really going on and what Jesus really did. Today signifies the most monumental, the most game-changing event in the history of mankind, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It changes everything. I'm Randy. Welcome. One of the pastors here at Adventure Church. And this morning I want to talk to you about what Jesus did. But first we better pray, because there is much said against you getting something from this. The religious fog tries to cloud and steal it all. And so would you pray with me? Let's just try to break through that together, okay? So, Jesus, come. We bring ourselves now, just agree with me in your heart, we bring ourselves now under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. We bring this room, this message, this time before you, Lord, under your kingdom authority. We forbid distraction, religious spirit, all the ways that Satan would want to steal from you, Jesus, what you want. Lord, would you open our eyes to what you're really like? Would you show us your heart this morning and your love? Would you give us a new taste of it? Remind us, Jesus, why you've done all these things that you've done for us. And Jesus, we want to see you. So would you reveal yourself this morning? In Jesus' name, amen. So the resurrection brings us back. The point of the resurrection is to bring us back into intimate relationship with God. Why do I say back into? Because that's what we once had. It secures for us adoption as royal sons and royal daughters of God. That's what the resurrection does. The crucifixion, it's stunning in and of itself. What happened a couple of days ago, Jesus' blood and his crucifixion washes away every sin, every stain of guilt that we have for everything we've ever done. And I want to talk more about that. But first, we really need to kind of get the backdrop. Why did Jesus come? Why did he do this? What motivated him to go to have the whips on his back and the cat of nine tails, when they were whips with nine thongs with bits of bone and metal in them that literally just stripped the skin off? Why did he do that? Why did he crawl and to his cross and embrace it? Why did he take the nails? Why did he take the crown of thorns? Why did he go through so much? He did it because of love. We don't even understand love. Love that's enamored love. Love that is passionate love, because we, mankind, have a kind of amnesia. We have forgotten him. We're like that Jason Bourne, in that Jason Bourne clip. We have forgotten who we are, and we've forgotten who he is and what he thinks about us. And so he had to come to remind us. Once upon a time, we had this intimate relationship with God. We had this closeness back in the garden. We trusted his intentions toward us fully. We trusted his leadership, but then we came under a spell and a kind of amnesia set in. See, God had something that he lost. He had someone and he lost them, and now he's out to get them back, and that someone is you. So, we're going to look at a scene from a film. Now, some of you know, I'm kind of a geek, all right? I love gadgets, I love computers, I love to tear into computers, and I like to do computer programs, things like that. One of the shows that I've enjoyed a lot is called Chuck. Have you ever seen Chuck on TV? All right, so if you haven't seen it, it's the story of this computer nerd guy who's a very good man. Okay, he's got a wonderful heart, and he falls in love with this this CIA agent that is she is something else. She is emotionally wounded. She is hardened. She is ruthless. And she lies for a living. And he falls in love with her. And 3 seasons of him trying to get her to melt. And finally, at the end of the 4th season, they get married. And all of you Chuck watchers went, yes. If you haven't gotten that far yet, sorry, I'm going to mess it up for you. So they ended the series, the 5th season, this January. And the final episode, it was amazing. Final episode was a 2-part episode, and she gets captured by this enemy agent, and he brainwashes and literally wipes Chuck's love for her from her mind and their relationship from her mind, and replaces it with suspicion and doubt about him, and actually plants in her mind that Chuck's really covertly an enemy but acting like a friend. It's a perfect picture of what's happened to mankind. So let's watch this, and the final season, or the crescendo of the show, is Chuck trying to convince her that his love for her is real. What would you do if the love of your life, just the absolute love of your life, somehow got hit on the head and they literally forgot you? You said, hey, it's me. I'm sorry, I don't know who you are. What would you do if your spouse forgot you? What would you say to them? Well, let's watch this and see. What do? You do this. You do that. You need to understand this heart that you saw in Chuck. It's a pale picture. It's a weak picture, but it's an inkling of what he feels for us, why he was willing to go to the beatings and the cross. You need to understand, this is why he came, because we as a race, we've forgotten him. We've forgotten his love for us as genuine and personal and real, and so God came to convince a race with amnesia that how much he loves us and how far he's willing to go to wake us up and get us back. Scripture says, for God so loved you, why did he give his son? Because of how much he loves you. I like in the Passion of the Christ how the scene where they did, after Jesus was brutalized, he does crawl and he embraces the cross, and then somebody yells at him, why do you embrace your cross? Right? Because the cross is a torture mechanism. And all you see is Jesus' face in the scene. I tried to do a still shot of it. And the face is saying, because this is how I get them back. This is how I get Randy back. This is how I get Eric back. This is how I get Shelly back. In fact, I want you to say your name right now. This is how I get back. He had you in mind when he was hugging that thing. He was thinking about you and paying the price to get you back. That's God's love for you is unquenchable. It knows no limits. It knows no boundaries. That's why John 3:16 says what it says. For he so loved you that he gave his only son. There's a great story in Matthew chapter 20 where James and John's mother, 2 disciples, James and John, the mother comes. You know, nice Jewish mother. Teacher, great teacher. she says, you know, when you get to eternity, would you let my boys be on your right hand and your left? Would you let my boys be, aren't moms great, guys, you know, cheer for, you know, they just cheer us on. But Jesus looks at him and says, James and John, you don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? What was in that cup that he was about to drink? When Jesus said that, can you drink the cup I'm about to drink? He was thinking, he knew what was coming. What did he know was in that cup? The wrath of God. All of the punishment for sin of all mankind. What did Jesus drink into that pure, sinless, perfect soul on that cross? Well, every betrayal, every adultery, every prostitution, every exploitation of the weak, every father's angry words, every mother's manipulation, every rape, every look at pornography and the idolatry that is, every murder, and the murders performed in the heart, which we've all done, right? Every injustice, every lie told, every cruelty man has done that God has watched throughout the history of mankind, all of that and much, much more was in that cup that Jesus was about to drink. And yes, he was tortured and he was beaten and his beard was ripped out and he was whipped and he carried his own cross and his hands were pierced and his feet were pierced and he had a crown of thorns on his head, but the real torture was him bearing our sin. It was the moment the Father's holy eyes could not look on his beloved Son, because by nature of his holiness, God had to turn away. And that's when Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then, do you remember what he said at the end? What was the last thing he said? It is finished. It is complete. It is accomplished. What was accomplished? Paying their ransom price. Paying for all of their sin. Prophesied before. 800 years before Jesus was born. Prophesied, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. What's iniquity? Sin. It's my crap. Right? It's my junk. It's my past. It's the stuff that I've done. He took it all. He took it all. I was having lunch at this new Chinese buffet in Monroe by Lowe's. And it's pretty good food, by the way. And I'm sitting there by myself, kind of just looking at some stuff this Wednesday afternoon. And next to me is a booth with three older men talking. So they're sitting around and probably in their 70s, maybe, you know. And one guy says to the other, could it be possible that my entire life has been an example of what not to do? Our leadership has not worked. Those sheep, if you haven't noticed, are in trouble right now. See what I'm saying? They're playing near the road. What do they need? A shepherd, right? They desperately need a shepherd. All right, look at the beginning. Okay, this is verse 6. Look at verse 5. This is 800 years before. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us what? Peace was upon him, and by his wounds, we're what? We're healed. We're healed. Jesus' death was very effective. Through some kind of deep magic, when Jesus died, every lie you've told was paid for. Every angry word you've spoken, every bitterness you've let root, every adultery you've committed, every murder in your heart, every manipulation, every sin was washed away if you but turn to him and ask. If you but turn to him and humble yourself and return to him. It's like magical detergent. His crucifixion makes you white as snow, Scripture says. Okay, so the step one is this: the crucifixion. Basically, receiving Christ's work on the cross is step one to restoration of relationship with God. If you want relationship with God back, His pursuit of you is one-sided unless you respond to Him. It's the first step is to just receive Jesus' work on that cross for you. That's He will remove your past. He'll just do it if you ask Him. You can't, now get this, you can't work your way to be clean. You can't get yourself clean. You can't try to be good for a month or two and then go to God. You can't pull it off because it's too deep. He needs to do all the work of cleansing, and that's why He died. He does it all. You just have to ask, and He'll do the work. You can't earn it. Scripture says you can't earn it. So all you can do is ask for it, and then when somebody gives you a gift, what do you say? Thank you. That's all you say. You can't say, well, thanks for that gift. Let me give you some money for that. It doesn't work that way. It's a gift, and this forgiveness. Okay, so step one is receiving His crucifixion. The second thing that we want to talk about is what happened in His resurrection and then receiving that. How to receive the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And, I mean, the best news about Jesus' death was that He didn't stay there. The resurrection is not the extra point after the touchdown, you know? It's not the, you know, added on thing. It's His rising from the dead, seen by hundreds of people, talked about by Roman historians of the day. You can read about it in Josephus and other Roman historical books. This great teacher in Nazareth rose from the dead and has been seen by people. So this isn't just the Bible. You read the history books of the time. Romans says that somehow we were included in the resurrection if we've trusted Christ. Somehow we have risen from the dead. And then Peter says this, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us what? New birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance. What's an inheritance? Somebody dies and you get all the stuff. Jesus died, you get all the stuff. Who gets an inheritance? Is it the friends of the family or who? The kids, the family, the children, right? You become a child of God. That's the new birth. Royal son and daughter of the living God. You are literally seen as a servant gets, you know, yeah, go eat in the back, you know, with the other servants. But a son, daughter, they get to go, you know, they decide, they walk up and open their refrigerator and get food themselves. They get the keys to the car. And so you become a son or daughter of the living God into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. What does this mean? Means there's a new you that God is wants to uncover and unleash. It's the you that He sees. It's the you He's always seen. It's the you He designed and knit together. It's the real you. It's the you you've always wanted to be. It's the you He sees when He looks at you. It's not the you that you wrestle with and live with and struggle with from day to day. It's the real. Think of films you love. Neo. Right? Who's he start out as? Right? Some obscure computer programmer, Mr. Anderson. And who calls him up to become the real guy, Neo? Remember who called him up?
Morpheus, right?
And then Frodo, right? Think of these films you love. Frodo, he's just this little hobbit, kind of a nobody. But what is he really? The savior of Middle-earth. And who calls him up into that? Who's his mentor? Gandalf. In the film Les Mis, or the play Les Mis, you've got Fontaine, who sees herself as a whore. And she has done some things that justify that identity. But how does Valjean see her? An innocent and beautiful woman. And that's what he calls her up into, because that's the real truth about her. See, God wants to take that role that he was designed as shepherd, mentor. He wants to be your Morpheus, your Gandalf. He wants to, it's one thing to invite him in to be your forgiver. It's another thing to say, and I want you to mentor me and take me into my true identity. And that's what he wants to do. You know the story of Ebenezer Scrooge. He's a despicable man, isn't he? Just a horrible man. But then the story takes you back into the loss of his partner and the loss of the love of his life and him being alone as a child and these things that happen where life just beat it out of him. Beat the love, beat the heart right out of him. And what does it take for the true man to come out, to be brought to the surface? What does it take? A supernatural encounter. Right? Same for you. We need a supernatural encounter with the living God to be initiated into the true identity that God has for us, to be set free from the lies that are over us, to receive the forgiveness and the cleansing that he wants to offer us. And so we're gonna invite him to come and bring that supernatural encounter for us this morning, for you this morning. I want to prepare you for that. We're going to take some moments and give you some time to invite him to be your forgiver, to be your mentor, your leader, to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. But first, we want to share with you the entire story that I've just shared with you in another way, through a drama. So we're going to invite the high school youth group team up here. And they're gonna share with you the same thing I just did in a different way. Would you bow your heads with me, please? I think what Jesus is saying this morning to you is, my love for you is real. And you haven't believed it. Not really. My heart for you is really good. And you haven't believed it. You've not let it in. I love you. I love you. And I forgive you. Revelation 3, Jesus says, I stand at the door of your life and I knock. And that knocking may just be happening this morning. He may have just started knocking the moment you walked in the doors here. But he says, I stand at the door of your life and I'm knocking. If you hear my voice and you open that door to me, I will come in to your life. He will forgive every sin and give you a brand new heart. And he will be your Morpheus, your leader, your shepherd. And so I want to invite you to do that right now. I want to invite you, and I want to invite you to speak these words out to him. You can whisper them, but at least whisper them so you know you're not just doing it in your head. If you're ready to say, okay, I want to open the door to you, I invite you just to pray these words with me right now. And they go like this, Dear Jesus, okay. I right now open the door of my life to you fully. Speak that to him right now. I open the door of my life to you fully. Would you take all of my past on that cross and declare me clean. Say that to him. Would you do it? Would you wash me with your blood? And I want you to be my shepherd. I want you to be my leader. I right now give myself back to you. All of me. In the name of Jesus Christ. Everybody keep your eyes closed. Heads bowed. If you just prayed that, just between you and me, would you just kind of slip your hand up and let me see? Let me know that you've made a decision. Thank you. I see that. Yes. Praise Jesus. All right. Anybody else? Anybody else? Okay. Amen. Up in the balcony, I see that. Awesome. Okay. You can look up. Scripture tells us that those of you who just prayed that, you just moved to be a child of the living God. You just became a son or daughter of the living God. You are royalty now. Everything you've ever done, every sin is washed away, and you are declared clean before Him. And now He wants to be Morpheus. I dig. The Morpheus picture is just awesome, right? Because He's tough and He loves Neo. And anyway, so that He wants to bring you into the truth about who you were meant to be. Some of you are here and you heard this and you went, gosh, it sounds pretty cool. I just have some intellectual things that I want to, some intellectual barriers in the way. I'm not sure I'm ready to jump in, but I'd like to know more. More is coming. Next Sunday night at 7 p.m. right here. What day? What time? Where?
Right here.
Good. Y'all heard me. We're having a thing, a class kind of thing called H2O. It's a video-driven deal. It is some of the best quality. The video I'm going to show you right now is some of it, but unfortunately it's a little lower resolution than we'd like. This is just a promo video, and I couldn't cut down the real one short enough to make it right. So, but this will show you a little bit of a glimpse of what H2O is going to be about. And this is for you, those of you who just made a decision, this is, you should be here. 8 weeks, come do this. But if you still are like, gosh, I'm not sure yet, this is the place for you as well. So let's roll this, and then I'll tell you a little bit more about it.